Hello and welcome to the GEMS podcast. That's G-Pod, the podcast that educates you about all things GEMS and how to make the most of your medical aid. I'm Yuveka Rangopal. Now, in this episode, we have the GEMS, the big guy, the principal officer for the largest restricted medical scheme in South Africa, and he's Dr. Stanley Molwabi. And today we're going to be telling you about the significant changes to some of the GEMS benefit options and your contribution increases in 2026. Hi, and welcome to the podcast, Dr. Stan.
Well, greetings to you, Veka, and also to the viewers of G-Pod.
Well, let's start with one of the more difficult ones, right? We are talking about increases. Now, GEMS members will experience an increase come 2026. It's going to happen. It was announced recently. Having to pay more for medical aid, as we know, there's always going to be some fuss. There's always going to be, but why? Why do I need to do it? And, you know, just many don't understand the reasons for these increases as well and why they have to happen, especially if they haven't even used their medical aid for like a year. So give us some explanation for that.
Well, like anything, the cost of health increases. We usually look at increases on an annual basis. And, you know, we have to remember that the benefits of GEMS and, you know, the benefits are stretched in five options plus one, what you call an efficiency discount option. So we design them with one primary objective, to meet the healthcare needs of our members. But healthcare costs, like any commodity, they increase not only within the GEMS environment, globally. And there are various influences that lead to that. Increased hospital cost is one of the services. There's also pressure on utilization of the healthcare services by a member. And this arises from the fact that the burden of disease is increasing annually. Why does it increase? It increases because our members, they age by 1 year, almost every year. And this is particularly so if we have less of younger people joining. So, and then there's also the issue of, because of innovation, there's newer technology. And newer technology, whether it be medication, whether it be tests, you know, to diagnose. So those would be medical investigations. All of these, they cost more. So as a result, we have to accommodate this. If we didn't do this, then we wouldn't be able to cover the demand of utilization by our members.
And give them the best care possible for whatever. And we know, I mean, you know, the world is always discovering there's a new disease every year, something new is happening. Who knows what's going to happen in a couple of years' time? So tell me, Dr. Stan, I mean, once members join the medical aid, they've chosen a certain option, are they actually locked into that particular option for the rest of the time, as long as they were GEMS? Or, you know, does it change if their needs change at some point?
Absolutely. The most important thing is that we try and ensure that members are on the correct option. So that is why on an annual basis, we allow for a month. We call it the option change period. For a month when members are able to look at two things. Firstly, what is the state of my affordability? What can I afford? But it's not only about affordability, it's also the state of your health. So looking at those two, then you try and ensure that the coming year you are on the right option. So there is an opportunity every year, and actually that opportunity opens as we speak now. It is open.
Okay, well, if we look at people who have sort of medical aids elsewhere, we're not going to mention any names, but elsewhere, you know, and sometimes if they want to make changes, just there's a lot of stuff you have to go through. You've got to, you know, almost jump through hoops to do that. Is it the same when it comes to GEMS, or are you a bit easier with that process?
Well, I mean, GEMS is about ensuring there's adequate access to equitable health for our members. So just based on that mandate that we have, which we always pursue, we ensure that there should be access to ensuring that if you are, for instance, not on the right option, we assist you actually to ensure that you go on to the right option. So definitely, we do not make it difficult for our members to actually do that.
Well, absolutely. It sounds like you're very sort of reachable and accessible to your members as well. So tell us more about that option change, that option time. When exactly is that period?
So the period is actually as we speak. It is actually started, as I say, as we speak, from the 17th, which is as we are recording this. And then it goes on until the 16th of December.
Okay.
The 16th of December, as we know, it's a public holiday. So essentially, we are expecting our members to take advantage of this option change period and choose the right option that they are supposed to be on. And how do you do it? We've got four ways of doing it. It's through our USSD. Right. You can do it through our mobile app.
OK.
You can then do it also by calling our call center. And then lastly, in all our regions, we've got 18 working centers. So we've got 9 provinces, as you know, in South Africa, and each province has got 2 working centers. So they can walk into any of those working centers which are in areas where we know that there's a huge concentration of GEMS members.
Okay, so sorry, some GEMS employees are going to be working on the public holiday. That's what's going to happen on the 16th. Well, they're not going to get off on that day.
Well, actually, as I'd love to explain, we say until the 16th. The 16th happens to be a public holiday. Yeah. So we're encouraging our members to ensure that they do this by the 15th of December.
Okay. Yeah. So midnight of the 15th, should we say. Okay, midnight of the 15th is what you have. Now, over the years and going back to the increases and why they happen, I mean, like you said, they have to happen. There's a reason to give the best healthcare, keep up with technology, keep up with international trends. Mm-hmm. But you've tried to keep these increases low.
Yes.
Just walk us through, you know, how you've managed to do that.
Well, the past few years, and I'm going to use the COVID years as a point of reference. So what happened during COVID is that everybody was talking about the pressure that we are having from a financial budgeting point of view. And it is during that period that we had actually expected, and nobody knew how this is going to pan out. I'm talking about what was going to be the effect of the pandemic on healthcare funding. We thought, wow, we're going to spend quite a lot of money. The opposite happened. Because of the lockdowns and the fact that people were avoiding healthcare services to try and avoid COVID,
yes,
what we found is that we built up huge reserves. So we are required to keep reserve of about 25% of annual contribution income. We went up to the highest, which was about 47% of our annual contribution income. Now, when you take GEMS size into consideration, that 42 is quite a lot of money.
Yeah.
So to help our members in the subsequent years, which is, I think it was 2021, 2022, 23, thereabout, we kept very low contribution increases. So the medical price index, which is generally by how much the cost would be somewhere in the region of about 8%. This is just an average. Yeah. But we then had a year where the contributions were actually increased by 2% only. And then the subsequent year by 5% only, which equates to more than 10 billion rands. Now, that is the protection that we could afford our members during that time when the reserves are high. However, the reserves now have come to where they are supposed to be, which is around 25%. And the increases that we are now implementing are real to ensure that we don't go too below the reserve ratio, but while we are able to cover the costs.
Well, and that makes sense. I mean, what you're saying about during the COVID years when people avoided, they were basically trying to stay healthy and stay alive, right? And then that goes to how if you try and stay healthy, then it keeps the cost lower. I mean, exactly what the message you've been trying to send out as well. And obviously, they have been not being very healthy recently, but that's a different story. But when it comes to affordability with and gyms, how do you compare with other schemes in the country?
Now, so when you look at the industry, in South Africa, we've got about 70 medical schemes. It's actually 71. Mm. Let's say around 70. All those medical schemes have about in excess of 250 options. Mm. So one of the things is that when we talk about comparing, we have to ensure that we compare like for like, similar for similar, mm-hmm. so that we don't, as the adage says, we don't compare apples and pears. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about, we looked at comparable options, and on average, GEMS is about 23% cheaper than comparable options, so where you get similar benefits.
Okay.
And that is if we don't take the employers, which is government in our case, a subsidy into consideration. If you put the subsidy in the equation, then actually we, on average, about 51% cheaper than comparable options.
That's a big
number. It is actually very, very significant. And it's something that makes GEMS unique.
Well, you know, people are always suspicious. We're always skeptical. And, you know, when something is cheaper or that much cheaper and it seems reasonable, if it seems too good to be true, we always think, okay, where are they cutting costs? Where are they compromising? What's the catch?
And that is the most important thing. Yeah. We don't compromise on the quality of healthcare that our members have access to.
Yeah.
So while there is that affordability, when you talk about comparison, it is important that we state that we don't compromise on quality. So we negotiate, for instance, within the GEMS environment with the hospitals, with the healthcare providers, to ensure that the standard of the healthcare that our members access remains of acceptable quality. So that is part of the work that we do to ensure that there's no compromise on the quality.
And I mean, part of that, and that this was part of a previous discussion, is where we spoke about things like fraud, waste, and abuse.
Yes.
And that forms part of what you're saying in keeping things real and keeping things sort of, you know, better and for members. Just recap for us a little bit about what we spoke about in that earlier episode and how this helps the actual member.
Yes. So before I talk about how it helps, I'm going to talk to how it disadvantages the member. So fraud, waste and abuse is one of the biggest challenges that we are having. So the elements of fraud, waste and abuse are that those who commit fraud are those who have an intent.
Mm.
And it actually is a criminal activity.
Yes.
So where people, and it doesn't matter, it across the board, we find that members, healthcare providers, can actually be, sometimes we find there's collusion between them. So with fraud, there's an intent to gain unlawfully.
Hmm.
So you basically have people who go, the healthcare provider builds the medical scheme, but not for medical services, in exchange for money. So we've got, that is fraud. Then we've got waste. Waste is essentially where there's unnecessary overutilization of health of the services. So that would be, you actually need one investigation, then the decision is, this person is on a medical aid, I might as well test for five in case. It's not supposed to be like that, and that results in waste. And then abuse is basically where a person just feels, for instance, that, let's use spectacles, where you know we've got a two-year benefit. So a person feels, okay, for 2 years, I haven't had a change. These spectacles are still okay. But I do have a medical. I'm going to have another type step spectacles because I can. So you're abusing your medical aid just because it is there. You're not using it when there is a need. So that's an element of abuse. But what is also interesting because of what has recently happened with the Section 59 inquiry, which had to do with fraud, waste and abuse. It has to do with how we are responding to FWA. But in return, there's unhappiness by those healthcare providers who are making an allegation that the medical, in investigating frauds, they are using racial profiling. What is interesting is out of that, in the interactions and in us implementing some of the recommendations that came first from the initial report, which was an intermediary report before the final report came out, there were certain suggestions. And one of those suggestions was that you need to look into those that are saying, well, we claimed in what looks like a wasteful or fraudulent matter because we didn't know. So then you will see in the future we'll be talking about fraud, waste, abuse, and error because we are considering that was it really a genuine error that this happened and we have to deal with that. Well, so that's quite very, very, very interesting.
Good luck trying to measure that. I don't know how you're going to find that out. Well, polygraph tests or what?
There's going to have to be some criteria we certainly use. So your question was then, how does it benefit the member? The fact that we are
attending, I didn't mean to imply that fraud, waste, and abuse is actually good for anyone. Maybe for the moment at that time, but it's a bad thing.
And absolutely understand. So when we deal with it, we're making significant savings for members in expenditure that was otherwise wasteful. So there's a lot of things that we've put into place. It's a continuation of the way we detect fraud. But what has come under scrutiny is things like algorithms, the bias, and all of those things. At the end of the day, if we reduce fraud, and this is the appeal to members, that they must not be part of fraud, waste, and abuse. Because when fraud, waste, and abuse happens, it affects the contribution increase, the utilization goes up, and for unnecessary things. At the end of the day, the determination of what members need in terms of how much do we put in to get out goes up. So it makes the contribution increase higher. But if we can overcome fraud, then the contribution increases will be low.
So the impact, I think people would want to know, just to summarize for us, the fact that you are investigating, the fact that you are stopping this is a huge task, is great. It's a mammoth task. What would have been the impact on members had you not decided to do anything about this?
Clearly.
Yeah.
One of the things is the contribution increases that is so much part of what you are dealing with would be higher than what they are. So those activities are also part of ensuring that unnecessary utilization is kept at a minimum.
Okay, and again, that goes to healthcare. If those contributions are too high, you are not going to have to, you're not going to be able to afford it. You're not going to be able to get the care that you need. Mm-hmm. And then we're just going to have a lot of disaster.
Well, it can lead to an absolute collapse of the medical scheme environment. And that commitment that we have to be there for our members when they need us most, which is when they're most vulnerable.
Well, let's chat now about some significant changes that are coming up for 2026, and especially for two of your options, two of your jewels there, those being the Tanzanite 1 and Ruby, I believe, those options. Yes. Let's start with Tanzanite 1 and tell me the significant changes that will happen there.
So with Tanzanite 1, there are two main changes. It is the fact that when you're on Tanzanite 1, whereas there was not much differentiation on this low-cost benefit option, and I'm using that low-cost benefit option with having in mind that it is it's used as a term that in the industry, there's actually a court case. So I'm just describing it.
Okay.
It's for description
that's a
purposes.
That's a disclaimer, by the way.
It's a description purposes. Yeah. So some people say we should call it low contribution options. So the low contribution option in our case is Tanzanite 1. Mm. And the main change there, as I said, it's two. It is that whereas access to hospitals, private, for which we pay for, was for everything. Now, to overcome the utilization and overutilization, it's now going to be a strictly prescribed minimum benefit option. Mm. That is the big one.
Yeah.
And it's going to basically save to ensure that we continue to be a financially sustainable scheme. It's going to save in excess of ₹500 million in the coming year. And that's our calculation.
That's a difficult one to understand. We hear, members here prescribe minimum benefits and don't quite understand exactly what these are. And especially, I think, explain to us in language that I can understand.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, just if I remember, what that means for somebody who's on Tanzanite 1. What's prescribed minimum benefits, PMBs, and what does it mean for those on Tanzanite 1?
So the prescribed minimum benefits, and in this case, remember, we're talking about mainly in the hospital environment, are a set of conditions that are stipulated in the regulations of the Medical Schemes Act that a medical scheme is obliged by law to pay. So it is all those essential things that if a person has that condition, by law, you are obligated to pay. Your scheme rules cannot be designed in a manner that it excludes prescribed minimum benefits. Whereas those that are not prescribed minimum benefits, you could have exclusions based on the options. Mm-hmm. So in essence, that is what prescribed minimum benefit means.
So there are certain things that you absolutely, you know, will get the care for and your medical aid will have to pay. There's no finding a way out of it.
Exactly. And and that is what we are required. We are attempting to solve in terms of the excessive utilization on a low contribution income, low contribution option, Tanzanite 1. So that is the first one.
Yeah.
The second one, we basically have a bias as GEMS to have our members have access to primary healthcare services. So what we did in our design previously was that we opened up access to the primary healthcare doctor, the GP. But we have found that, based on our data analysis, that this was being abused. There was excessive claiming because they were unlimited. So from 2026, the visits to the GP will be limited to 8 of them you can access without any hassle. But if you use 8 GP visits and it's before the end of the year, you'll be required to get a authorization before you can visit, beyond the visit of 8. So what now, it's a control measure to take care of this excessive use that we had experienced. So those are the two main changes from Tanzanite.
Very interesting. We don't think about those things and how it actually impacts the entire scheme and everyone on the scheme.
Yes.
Now, it seems like GEMS has really, really, you know, gone the extra mile to add more chronic illnesses to the list. Tell me more about
that. Before I do that, on the chronic list, the second thing, remember we said two options. So on the Ruby option, the main thing is that the Ruby option is going to be now part of a hospital network, whereas you could access all hospitals. So now there's going to be that network, which is sort of a restrictions, but it's basically to ensure that we deal with the issue of overutilization. On the issue of additional conditions, yes. So as I indicated, that prescribed minimum benefits are a set of conditions that are stipulated in the regulations of the Medical Schemes Act, which says these ones the medical aid has to pay. And under chronic conditions, what then happens is that we had determined that there are conditions that even if they have not prescribed minimum benefit, are so important, and then we added them to our chronic disease list.
Okay.
So we manage those differently. basically, you could find that in certain instances, we will pay according to the new formularies that we have determined. Mm-hmm. So the formularies are designed in a manner that they cover those additional chronic disease list conditions. There can be instances, just control, where you find that there may be co-pays that apply in the event that a person is accessing a medication for chronic diseases. However, those medication is not what within what you call the maximum medical aid price, MMAP. Now, that's a term that we use.
That's a new one.
Yes, okay. That's a term. That's a term that we use to say you have a certain number of generics, and there's an average price. Those that fall within the average price will pay fully. Those that go above the average price, there will be a copay. It's a measure to ensure that we don't overpay for these medicines.
Okay, that's fantastic. And I mean, we are going to talk more about the Ruby option as well and what's happening there. But just to round up for us when it comes to Tanzanite 1, just encapsulate for us, Dr. Stan, just the major changes that will happen. Happen for Tanzanite 1 option. Yes.
So essentially, as I indicated, so for Tanzanite 1 option, and this is important, Tanzanite option is an option where the contribution is on the low side. And the intention was to make sure that there is access to the very, very basic needs that a member of a medical scheme have. By the way, and I think this information is important. It is an option which started in 2023, whereas previously it was called Sapphire. Now, so the Sapphire option used to have huge restrictions. For instance, you could only access public sector hospitals and then only minimally access private sector hospital. Then we entered into negotiations with our partners at the PSCBC, which is the unions or which are in government. We came up with Tanzanite 1. Tanzanite 1 then just grew. It has grown up to becoming the biggest option within the medical scheme.
Why do you think that is? I'm going to interrupt you.
It's cost issue.
Okay, all right.
Yes. So now, what is important is the fact that it was intended for the employees who are earning least. However, when we do option changes, the one that we spoke about earlier, even people who are handling on the higher side now started joining a Tanzanite 1.
Is that fair?
Well, that is exactly now one of the biggest changes that we are resolving. So when we are talking an average contribution increase of 9.8%, we're talking about an average. But on Tanzanite 1, it has been structured such that those who are earning higher are going to have a huge increase.
Okay.
And all we are doing, we are disincentivizing them for being on the wrong option. Mm. And wrong, I mean, because they afford more. Mm. They should be on higher options. Remember, we said when you choose an option, it's affordability and the state of your health. Now, because of the richness of the benefits within Tanzanite up to so far, we find that there are some of our members who basically identify that even if I earn a lot, and a lot is in terms of the levels of earning, they still chose the low contribution income option, which disadvantages the whole idea of cross subsidization.
Okay.
So to resolve that, in our income bands, those who earn high are going to experience increases that are well in excess of the 9.8 average that we are talking. And I think that's going to be the most significant thing in this option change.
You expect a lot of unhappiness. Of course, it's
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that is, but I think it's a well thought thing. It is to ensure financial sustainability. It is to ensure that the whole concept of cross-subsidization is not compromised.
Okay, and that's, you know, they continue to get the best deal when it comes to this.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, let's talk about Ruby now. Tanzanite One has had a lot of airtime. Let's talk about the Ruby option and members there. What big changes can they expect for 2026?
Well, the big change with Ruby, it's that Ruby up to thus far was not a network option. But also having looked at the fact that the utilization, when it is not managed, it tends to go out of control. So the main thing that has been introduced with Ruby is that now it's going to become a hospital network option. So you basically will be expected to use hospitals which are within the GEMS network environment. And, you know, the effect of using networks on other options that have been on this network regime, if I can call it that, is that the downstream costs, when you talk downstream costs, it's anything after the doctors have seen you, you go into a hospital, we made savings of about 17%. Now you would ask, okay, if you make 17% worth of savings, well, how does it benefit the member? What we created then is what you called Emerald Value Option, where you have to consult, you have to be admitted within the hospitals, but you pay less. So a member who's on Emerald Value Option has the same benefits as a member who's on Emerald, which is not restricted. But if you're on Emerald Value Option, you could save, depending on the size of the family. So an average family of four beneficiaries would save anything between 600 and 1,000 rand in contributions per month, which is very, very significant.
That's a lot of money for a lot of families. And I would imagine that is the reason. Let's just pat you on the back a little bit here. Now, you were recently ranked second in the country in the prestigious, it's a very long word, your Ask Africa Orange Index Awards. That's a very long title, but you managed to come second. Now, why do you think that is? And what does it actually mean for what you do for your members and how they benefit from that?
One thing for sure is, besides, you know, what members experience, which is the benefits we put out there, and which is what we talked about mainly.
But there's
a big operation behind the scenes. That operation talks to things like call centers, where our members have to phone in to make inquiries about their benefits, about authorization to see doctors, authorization to get into a hospital. All of that is how we interact with our members. So the Ask Africa Orange Index in the medical schemes looks at the member-facing services. And we basically have moved from, in the previous year when we were, I think, number five.
Yeah, you were fifth. It's a big jump. So you must have done some fantastic stuff in between. What was
And the bottom line is that we listened.
Okay, good.
So how do we listen? We have, apart from that independent industry survey that is done by Ask Africa, we have a GEMS-initiated monthly survey. So those members we have interacted with the scheme in the past 6 months are then surveyed to see how they experience the services, and then they tell us what the challenges are, they tell us what they are not happy about, then we concentrate on fixing that. So bottom line, we listened.
And you get that feedback, what is it, via the monthly surveys.
So there is an organization that surveys, that samples members who, as I said, we have seen this, who has interacted with the scheme in the past 6 months. And then that sample, we then look at what they are complaining about. And then, and I think The fact that we listened to our members is what would have led to this turnaround.
I think we should also thank our members for actually doing the survey, because when somebody sees a survey, we hardly ever do it, right? So it pays literally to actually answer those questions.
Absolutely. Yeah. We are very appreciative of the fact that actually our members are prepared to participate in those surveys.
Which means they understand, and you've done a great job of explaining to them why what the benefits would be. So let's, we're almost at the end of our time, which always makes me very sad, but let's remind our members, Dr. Stan, about, you know, those who want to change their options for the coming year, how they can do, if they want to, what is it that they need to do if they want to do that?
Yeah, so basically, our members can get into contact with us via USSG, and they would get, you know, the number for this on all of our publications and on our website. There's a lot of the communication that we have just sent to them, for instance, regarding the 9.8. And then we also have the mobile app, the GEMS mobile app, where you can actually do the option change. The mobile app, it's basically, you know, a tool through which you can do quite a lot besides the option change. Things like just submitting your claims and all of that. So, but the main thing is that the option change you can do through the mobile app. And then it's also by calling our call center number. And then you then go through the prompts that will take you to the option change option. And then we having 9 provinces in South Africa. Mm-hmm. You know, GEMS is one of the few, if not the only one, that has got a member everywhere in South Africa.
Yeah.
So in all the 9 provinces, we have 18 working centers. So you can go into any of our working centers and do your option change. And the period is very important. It is between the 17th of November until the 15th, the 16th.
Midnight of the 15th.
Exactly. So on to the 16th, which is a holiday. So it's basically on the 15th.
Okay. So hopefully no GEMS workers or employees are going to have to be working on the other
GEMS
side.
Well, GEMS workers, they tell me that we're working all the time. But yeah, I understand exactly. From then, the country usually gets into Christmas mode, and then we find that there's very little work. That is why we also, it's very important that, you know, they do the option change by the 15th, because PESEL, which is the system for paying public service employees, captures all the information for January by the 15th.
So you need
to meet that deadline to ensure that the January deduction is on the right option.
All right. So on that note, I think let's get some last words from you to GEMS members, some advice. You've given lots today, but just to wrap it up for them in terms of how they can best utilize your service and the benefits that they get from you.
So, I mean, the most important thing about the government employees' medical scheme is that, as we say, that we are always working towards a healthier member. And that really encompasses quite a lot of things. It is the fact that the contribution, this is a time where contribution increases are unavoidable because of the reality that there's inflationary increase on any commodity. And we know that we often say health is not one of those normal commodities, but there is that. So we want to say to our members, yes, all of us are always faced with pressure from an economic point of view, but the contribution increase is necessary to ensure that, one, our members, when they need healthcare services, we have enough in the kitty to ensure that we pay for their expenses.
I'm going to be very corny now and say that goes to the saying, health is wealth. Yeah,
absolutely.
Literally.
Well, it is worth also from the perspective that...
No, not for you, for members, for everyone.
Exactly.
Meant in your pocket. No.
The health is well, because remember, if you are not healthy, you can't even work.
Yeah.
Yes. So that is actually very important. Yes. And then the other, the second point regarding the contribution increase, it is important that we sustain the appropriate level of contribution increase to ensure that the scheme remains financially sustainable.
Okay. Well, Dr. Stan, I think we've explained a lot today. And I think come 2026, you will probably have a lot of inquiries for those who don't quite understand. But I think you've done a fabulous job of simplifying it that even I understood what you were saying. So that makes it great. And you said you have a member in every province. You have at least two in KZN, and that's my parents. Okay, so I know you have at least two.
We absolutely understand that. It's the nature of, and we, you know, the best way we describe GEMS is to say it is a microcosm of the South African population. So I perfectly understand that also in KZN and relatives, I have a lot of relatives
and
also.
And teachers, yes.
Exactly, who basically were in the public. We have retired some of them, some are still in the public service, and they are members of GEMS. So you can imagine, I do get a lot of calls that say, why are you doing this? Why are you increasing so?
Never. Yeah. No, of course you do. All right, well, thanks so much for joining us on GPod, Dr. Stan Malwabi. And thank you for watching this episode of GPod. Now, if you were wondering about why we had that increase, now you know. If you sent angry emojis to the poor GEMS employees who had to process that and didn't sleep all night, now you know why. There's a good reason for it. Also for Tanzanite One changes and what's happening with the Ruby option as well. Now you know what changes are in store for you next year. Thank you so much for joining us. Until the next episode, bye-bye from us.